Maturing Fellowship as we are now entered into the exhortative portion of the epistle here to the Thessalonians by Paul as he wants to bring to mind, recall, and refocus in on regards to certain instructions of living the Christian way of life in respect to sustaining and maintaining their effective witness of life as they are so doing as a model church. And his exhortations here, as we have brought out in this regards, are not in any form of censure. They are straightforward. This is a group, a quality volition, that he completely has confidence in the fact that they will embrace the doctrine and seek to apply it without any cajoling, rebukes, or anything of this nature. Otherwise, as he states, "For finally, then, brothers, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus." The phrase "in the Lord Jesus" looks at both positional and experiential truth in this respect, being believers, being Paul, and also being in fellowship in regards to providing counsel and instruction with respect to fellow believers who are also in fellowship. This provides, if you will, therefore, compatible and effective counsel on behalf of all concerned in this respect. Now, moving on into the verse here, which again grammatically becomes somewhat more sophisticated, he goes on with two purpose clauses that bracket, if you will, two comparative phrases with respect to the instruction here, and that's where we left off, point 25 now. The content, reading here, the content of their counsel, Team Paul's counsel, instruction, is then expressed with a twofold purpose, which is noted by the English "that," hina, both the "that's," "that as you receive," and then at the end of the verse, "that you may excel still more." Both of those are your conjunction hina, bracketing dual comparisons, translated "as," and then "as you receive," then "just as you actually do walk." And both of those terms are kathos in the Greek. So you have two purposes, bracketing two comparisons, using the same terms in the Greek for both pairs in that regards, as to each pair in that regards. So 26, now the first purpose in comparison here, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, has the main idea propelling the second purpose, that you may excel still more. In the same condition, with the same purpose of initiating the doctrine and instruction, and as they received it, that serves to fuel the second purpose, that they excel still more in regards to their Christian life. So 27, now inserted in between is a second comparison, presented in parentheses in the New American Standard, just as you actually do walk. So 28, now the gist of this somewhat complex construction, the main idea, is that the Thessalonians had received clear and accurate teaching to begin with, and at present still in compliance, just as you actually do walk. But there is a higher expectation by Team Paul that you excel still more. So that is the main idea in regards to the concept that Paul is providing. So that gives us then some insight in regards to the use of the dual purposes and the dual comparisons. So 29, hence the emphasis of the dual purpose, which immediately has a comparison following. The purpose of teaching sound Bible doctrine, that is received, looking at the received from the standpoint of the person communicating, Team Paul, received from us. The purpose of teaching sound Bible doctrine received is for the purpose of maximizing spiritual growth in advance, that's excelling. The 30, the emphasis of the bracketed dual comparatives theme is that the dual purposes are only realized and facilitated by adhering, on behalf of the listeners, to NPR as you received, and obedience then to it, just as you actually do walk. So 31 here, and this is pretty cool in regards to the grammar that Paul uses here. 31, Paul grammatically diagrams. He grammatically diagrams the preface here to the instructive portion of the epistle in a way to denote that it is for continued spiritual growth and only beneficial with continued compliance and application. Dual purposes. Why doctrine is taught. That's for excelling spiritually. The comparatives. How it's received. And that you actually make application. So 31 again, Paul grammatically diagrams the preface to the instructive portion of the epistle in a way to note that it is for continued spiritual growth and only beneficial with continued compliance in application. 32, in other words, the preface in summary states that the teaching of sound doctrine benefiting spiritual growth is only comparable to your comparatives, as good as the exercise of inhale-exhale faith. Receiving and walking. Inhale, exhale, faith. See. And hence the received, as it's taught and sent out to be received, and excelling is only as good as one is willing to employ inhale, exhale, faith with respect to their Christian lives. So 33, now the idea of inhale faith, believing doctrine, we look at active faith on two levels. We just as you have to breathe in and breathe out to complete a cycle of breathing. So in active faith, in regards to your phase two application, you must first believe the doctrine, that's inhale faith. And then you must apply the doctrine, exhale faith, in regards to the doctrine itself to complete the cycle, to complete the intent of why God gave us His Word to begin with. That is, that wasn't just for some intellectual information that we can hoard in regards to our brain computer without having a design effect. And that effect is that we are to take that doctrine and apply it in our Christian life. It is guidance, a guideline, standards by which we are to conduct our Christian lives and what God's will is for our lives otherwise in that respect. So now the idea, so here the idea of inhale faith, point 33, believing doctrine, is captured in the aorist verb you receive, para lambano. That refers to the reception of an authoritative tradition passed down to others. To receive the teaching, a teaching through an authoritative chain of command, if you will, by those who then teach to others and pass down through generations, if you will, and over time. That term becomes, if you will, technical in that sense. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, we see it used in that vein. Regards to Paul and the issue of the Eucharist, communion, and his teaching otherwise in regards to Bible doctrine, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." Looking at Christ as the head, from whom the instruction, Bible doctrine comes from, initiates from to begin with, and he then passes that down through his communicative office, through his responsibility to the saints of the local churches, that the Lord Jesus in the night which he was betrayed took bread. So, interesting, Paul wasn't there that evening, physically. So yet he says he received from the Lord that instruction. And whether it was told to him by those who were there, he recognized it as coming from God, from Christ himself. 1 Corinthians 15:1-3, verses 1, "Now I make known to you, brothers, the gospel which I proclaimed to you, which also you received." You know, in their role as recipients, the hearers of the truth passed down to them, in which also you stand. And then also, verse 3, "where I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received." Our term, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The truth, as it's obviously taught to Paul. And he, in turn, then teaches to them. Galatians 1:9. As we have said before, so I say again, now if any man is proclaiming to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, that's received as taught by Paul initially in regard to the church of Galatia, let him be accursed. If the truth is handed down as being anything different than what Paul proclaimed and initially taught them, he said they're accursed. It was that, through that apostolic tradition, the truth of Bible doctrine handed down to the church in general through these communicators, that it is to be adhered to. And the rest is to be dismissed as fallacious and as erroneous. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, as we saw that, saw the word used there earlier. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you receive from us the word of God's message in the evangelizing process and they introduce them to phase 2 doctrine. You accept it not as the word of man, for what it really is, the word of God. And then we'll see it again in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition, the doctrine, which you received from us." The doctrine handed down to them concerning the issues that he will then lay out in particular. So the idea of inhale faith is incorporated into this verb receive that denotes reception of authoritative tradition passed down to others. So 34, here the tradition, the instruction, the definite article, simple definite article, and the neuter singular, neuter gender, singular person, centers on moral or ethical godliness related to in terms of how you ought to walk and please God. So the particular aspect of the instruction deals with moral, ethical issues that is incumbent upon the believer priest who is seeking to do God's will properly in regards to their Christian life. So 34, now the adverb how post means in what way. In what way. And indicates that Christian conduct has specific standards to follow. You go out there in the fundamentalist world and you see Christianity is a free-for-all in regards to what you're supposed to do, activities you can engage in and you can't, what's sin, what's not sin, is all dependent upon what men's ideas are in this respect, apart from, obviously, what God's Word says otherwise. There are specific standards to follow. And if you don't follow them, then you're out of step in regards to God and His plan for your life. Why we insist upon the function and the way this church, local church functions in regards to Bible studies, in regards to our Bible classes, why we insist that you get in fellowship, why you listen to Bible doctrine and be in fellowship when you apply Bible doctrine, why we insist that doctrine is taught in its thorough manner, of which is the habit of this local church and custom in regards to its teaching, and all the other aspects in regards to what we are to do and not to do otherwise, as our doctrine falls in regards to the standards presented in the Bible, and hence it is called Bible doctrine and is not the doctrine of men. Excuse me. So the adverb how indicates that the conduct has specific standards. It has rules. If you don't follow the rules, you break the rules, then you're disqualified. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. If you want to operate outside the rules of God's standards, His commandments, regardless of your phase two, then you are disqualifying yourself, first and foremost, from getting an ESG3 for the matter, if not wrecking your life spiritually otherwise. So 36, now the present verb, you ought, die, simply die in the Greek, D-E-I, more accurately means it is necessary and reflects an absolute condition. In other words, there's no alternatives if one expects to please God. The role imperatives that we have in the Scripture, if you want to please God, then those are what we must align and follow. And there are no alternatives. There's not another system, religious system or otherwise, out there that's conducive regards to men living a Christian life appropriately and correctly before God. It either comes through the standards of Bible doctrine or else it's bogus. So, it's not a if you feel like it or if you want to proposition. It is necessary. Completely and totally. To line up in regards to the role imperatives. Otherwise, you are not walking and pleasing God. In the matter of, obviously, that He expects. So, 37, that condition, the absolute condition, no alternatives, is simply stated as relegating our will and desire to His. We are here to teach you what God's will is. That's what the Bible is there for. It reveals that. And to be truly humble before God, to fear God truly, we then submit our will to His will. And that's what we seek to reprogram our thinking with and seek to organize all of our actions and the things we think, say, and do in application otherwise around the divine viewpoint of life. And hence, submitting our will to God's will. And you'll have people that will take issue, they'll attack, they'll say you're weak, you're dependent upon what this man says. Well, let him attack away. You're not the first one to get that one, I guarantee you, in regards to the Christian life. For those who are astute, for those who are plugged in, they recognize, as Paul will bring out in verse 2, that ultimately the authority doesn't stop right here in regards to my humanity. Ultimately, it comes from Jesus Christ Himself and God Himself in regards to that which is the truth of doctrine. I did not write the Bible. These are not my words, even though I'm trying to make them my words. I'll qualify that word. See. But usually it always is. Or often is, to attack the messenger just because he's trying to tell you what the person who he represents is wanting you to hear. See. And in regards to what God's will is, he's specific. He's not going to leave you hanging out there wondering, what do I do now? In regards to the proper application to make. And even with those areas that are gray, you don't know exactly which way to turn because of circumstances and situations. You know the doctrine to apply in regards to those situations. You faith rests. You don't get all wrapped up under sin, fear, worry, and all these other things. And you make sure that whatever step you make does not compromise doctrine in any fashion. See. And then you faith rest, and God will bring about the physical circumstances, the physical aspects of the situation, to reveal His will for you, whatever it may be. So relegating our will and desire to His, to keep our emotions in check, to not let sacred cows enter into the picture and blur your focus in regards to what God's will is in regards to any given matter in this respect. So 39, this appoints, 38, the infinitive to walk, peripateo, then looks to the order and conduct of one's life, having a specific goal or aim. Again, not just running around willy-nilly, driven by your emotions. Your days is going to be, in regards to your own Christian perception, a good day or a bad day based on how you feel. Our life is to have order. That's why you have certain priorities that are brought out in regards to doctrine. And you've got to establish those orders. You've got to get your ducks in a row, see. Establish what your priorities are in life. And if your priority is not God and what He wants you to do in your life, I can tell you right then and there, your priorities are skewered. They're not in the proper perspective in this respect. So our life, our Christian life, is not to be chaos. It is to have order. And under that order, obviously, you have NPR, you have being in fellowship, you have your prayer life, and then you have all the particulars of application of doctrine otherwise that you plug in. And you put them in their proper perspective, and then that's what your life starts to revolve around. And everything else spokes out from that. You see and see things going on in your life that's starting to destroy your priorities. That's when you need to stop back and do a check. See, things that start taking you away from applying doctrine, from being in Bible class, etc. That's when you need to check your priorities. Where is your priority? Then the conduct, obviously, in regards to how one operates and functions with respect to these things, are just as important. Our behavior. It has impact to those around you, whether good or bad. Obviously, we understand the doctrine. We understand rebound and how God deals with us. But don't forget, you got a witness of the life in regards to others around you. And our behavior, obviously, has a lot to do in that respect. So the infinity to walk here, put one foot in front of the other. It's your mode of transportation. It's engaging into your Christian life, how you're going to get through your Christian life, the path you're going to take. Must have purpose. It must have a goal. And obviously, the goal, as we would state it, under relegating our will to His, is to fulfill the rebound of maturity justness and hold to the end. So 39, this then points to the objective of inhale faith. Producing exhale faith to walk. That's application of doctrine necessary for the Christian way of life. So 40, the verb indicates not just footsteps here and there, but an ordered and consistent movement, as we would say, spiritual advance through phase two. This hit and miss a routine that some people had. See people, sometimes they show up for class, you know, they're here for a while, and then all of a sudden they'll peel off. All of a sudden, you know, after a while, they'll show back up again for a while. Then they'll peel off. I guarantee you. Until they get their act together, get in class, and stay in class. The best they're going to do is get a little SG3 out. I guarantee you, they are not prize contenders. And I'll take that one to my grave in regards to thought. They are not prize contenders. If you're not any more committed to Bible class than that, then you're nothing more than another lukewarm believer out there in this world that has other sacred cows that they'd rather worship at any given point in time in their life. So it demands consistency, and again, it demands order or priorities. That to maintain spiritual advance. 41. Now the second infinitive, to please, or esko in the Greek, means that which is acceptable. As we might say, action with honor versus action without honor before God. Means that which is acceptable, and suggests that the Christian way of life is all about seeking the approbation of God, not men or ourselves. We saw the term used in chapter 2, verse 4, 15, exactly in that vein. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, 2, 4, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. And then again, in verse 15, in a negative fashion, the Jews, they are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, in the negative sense. So this term has the concept attached to it that your Christian walk is all about trying to please God, seeking His approbation. People seek all other kinds of people's approbations. And it's always, you know, it's going to want people to like you and things of this and this. But to go after and want their approbation, want their notice, etc., beyond that which is normal, and that you're willing to compromise Bible doctrine in order to have that approbation, then I'm here to tell you, you're not pleasing God. You don't have God's approbation. There isn't any, let's share some of this here in regard to God. Either He's first or He's not. Either Bible doctrine is first in your life or it's not. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It doesn't get any more straightforward than that. And to please God means that when you're in situations like this, and people are trying to otherwise appeal to approbation in regards to a relationship with you, that's when you've got to really lay down the doctrinal line in regards to things like this and say, no, I'm not going to embrace your desire of approbation for me or me to you. I'm embracing desire for God. Hence the doctrine of separation then all of a sudden pops in. And then you find out really who has sacred cows and who doesn't, see, in regards to their life. And that is when you're willing to compromise doctrine to be remain and be user-friendly in regards to negative volition and reversing its otherwise. As I like to use that term. User-friendly. That's violation of separation. Social friendship. Use me for what you want. Because I want your approbation. 42, the consistent application now, that consistent application is expected from Bible doctrine, is captured in the present reality of the Thessalonians here, just as you actually do walk. So the reality of them brings out the necessity of and need of consistent application. So 43, these believers, reflecting a model church, provide the example expected from sound teaching, as believers correctly applying Bible doctrine, evidencing their loyalty and faithfulness to the Word of God. That's how you become a model in and of yourself, and as a church corporately, to walk in the commandments, to walk in the truth. And again, doesn't mean people are going to be perfect, but that's the ideal that they will set in front of them, and the goal and the aim in regards to their Christian life. And if they stumble, they pick themselves back up under rebound, and they make adjustments and they move on. 44, here we see that Paul gives praise where praise is due. They were doing it right, and he acknowledges that. And doctrine does that for us all the time. When we're in line, you hear the teaching, you're going, you're clicking it off, going, yeah, I'm doing that. Thanks, God, I ain't reached there yet. Yet, they always do that yet. And obviously, it's recognized by the communicators, the shepherds themselves, when people are doing it right. here, obviously, the phrase is to this church corporately. So 45. So the two comparatives now. First one tied into the first purpose, but you have two comparatives of receiving, quote, receiving, end quote, Bible doctrine, and, quote, walking, end quote, in it, serve the very purpose of why an adjust communicator teaches sound doctrine. Inhale, exhale, faith. So you can hear it, know what God's will is, and then apply it in your Christian life. 46, now the change of tenses from the aorist receive, that as you receive, that's an aorist tense, denoting action in the past, to the present, as you actually do walk, keep on walking, are walking, if you will, further illustrates that teaching precedes application, which application is designed to be a present reality at all times. It's amazing how many Christians you run across that hardly give Bible doctrine the time of day in regards to serious study and knowing what God's will is for a life, sitting there and trying to determine what God's will is for their life. Like somehow, you know, they can do it without having the proper instruction in regards to the teaching. And you see that kind of stuff. You hear that kind of stuff. And it's just nothing but another form of arrogance that people think they can figure things out without God's help. And without following the proper protocol. Without following the proper priorities and things of this nature. Under the royal chain of command, etc. And the communication and teaching of doctrine. So you've got to first hear it. God's not expecting you to do something if He doesn't give the instruction to do it. Then, obviously, you are to take it and take that instruction and make that your reality of life at any given point in time present in your life. This minute with all the minutes that will follow afterwards. So 47, now the tandem actions in turn now of receiving and walking. The tandem actions in turn place the believer in a spiritual position that you may excel still more. That you may excel still more. 48. Paul makes clear that he has high expectations from positive volition and does not view even those otherwise adjusted as being in any position to become complacent or stagnant. You expect too much from us. That'll feedback that you will hear. You expect too much, really. All I expect is you plug in with doctrine and apply it. And I don't expect you to start all of a sudden dropping off. I expect you to be in Bible class. I don't expect you to start missing Bible class. I expect you to apply it under your spiritual gift. I don't expect you to quit applying under your spiritual gift. And I expect you to keep on doing these things. Let's see. And some people do become complacent over time and become stagnant like they've arrived. But I'm here to tell you, you haven't arrived until God unplugs that soul from your body. And when you're seeing Jesus face to face in that condition, or the resurrection, rapture, however it may occur, then you've arrived. Until then, we're expected to give it every ounce of our energy that we got through our own positive volition in responding to God's word in application in regards to our Christian life. And not to become stagnant, not to become complacent, cavalier, don't care. Let other people deal with it. It's not my problem. You know, all the excuses that you can hear. 49, now the subjunctive mood of the verb, you may excel, parasuo. In the Greek, means the potential to surpass their present accomplishments, driving for maximum success, to go beyond what you've accomplished today, and add to that. And see, that's the accumulation of the SG3 scenario that you should have pictured in your head. So that when you get up to the Bema Seat, It's not some little purse with a few silver cones, silver and gold coins, and a diamond in it. You have a mound of wealth. Let's see. Oh, now I sound like Robert Shuler, eh? Positive thinking. But that is the principle. And that is a legitimate thought in regards to the believer of staying motivated and not becoming stagnant, etc. To recognize that God is going to bless you every step, every second you're in fellowship and applying Bible doctrine, He is applying to your account this eternal wealth. So, and to excel, to continue to strive and stay in regards to doctrine, in this respect, you surpass what you've already gained. And in that sense and in that way, you do excel. You start applying at higher levels. Now, an easy example, as I brought it out before, you know, I didn't know I had the gift of pastor teacher. God, sometimes I wish I never figured it out. But, no, I want to get the prize. So I started off small. And I just applied towards church under helps. And then more doctrine came in front of reference. And then I started figuring these things out. Then I started applying at a higher level. So, simple example, but apropos. And with doctrine and frame of reference of doctrine, we are expected in regards to apply to our level of culpability. And if you know what is right and you're not doing it, you're wrong. And there's no room for argument, there's no room for excuses, there's no room for any rationale otherwise. In regards to God and the way He looks at it. So, the potential, that's your subjunctive mood, the potential to excel means you got to get your spiritual act together to begin with, and then continue to drive and train under NPR and apply Bible doctrine in regards to your Christian life. Point 50, if the believer, obviously, in this regards, if the believer does not get their doctrinal, quote, gain, end quote, on to begin with, under inhale, exhale faith, they don't even have a potential shot at the title in the Christian way of life. So first, you've got to get your game on. That is, get in Bible class, start applying with rebound, consistently, if not, establish your prayer life, praying about and trying to figure out what your spiritual gift is and seek to plug in that regards, and then continue to take the doctrine and apply it across the board. It's not a smorgasbord cafeteria proposition. You can go by and pick and choose what you want. God says, here's my will. This all goes together. So, it all goes together. It's one meal. And you don't have to eat it all at once. But I do expect you to take every portion of it and try it, just like a parent would tell a child. The bratty little child won't eat, and then the parent ends up spoiling, and they end up being spoiled adults and picky eaters and all this other stuff, you know, you see out there. Eat your spinach, it's good for you. I don't want my spinach. I like that movie. 51, this final purpose now, that points to the ultimate result of Bible doctrine producing maximum divine good production. That's the bottom line. To excel still more has a focus on divine good production and maximizing that respect. So 52, at the moment of writing, the Thessalonians were already fulfilling God's directive will for their lives per the oral instruction of Team Paul's initial visit and verified, as we saw by Timothy, as brought out in verse 6. Timothy's return and brought the good news back to them of their sustained population and faithfulness to application. So 53, all that can be asked of them is that they perpetuate their application to Bible doctrine under the continued opportunities provided, striving to attain the highest levels with maximum effort. Continue to move on. Keep on keeping on, as we might say. Or I might say, maybe you don't. See, and to attain to the highest levels possible. It's just like working out. you attain to a certain number of reps. But you always want to try to push for that one more. And you don't give up. You just keep on working. After a while, good grief, I did it. Or else you go, I'm really old, I'll never do it. Either way, you get the idea. So, you have a church that's doing it right. They're as positive can be painted as a local church. And hence, all that can be asked for them, from them in this regard, is to continue, stay in the course, and continue to apply at every level and every opportunity provided at the highest level possible in regards to their own volition. So 54, where believers are functioning at a very high level of application, there is always a place to encourage them to excel. To encourage them to excel. 55, there is hardly an area in which we cannot increase our spiritual productivity, as we are not perfect beings. And that goes across the board. Your pastors included, I teach myself, to excel. See, we're not perfect. We have STAs. And so there's always that potential bettering ourselves and striving to do better. No matter what area of doctrine it may be, obviously there are some areas that we may be functioning at a very high level on. But others, you can always find some place I need to do better. I let my STA run too far in this area, etc. Or I can apply higher and better at this level in this regard. So 56, now two things can increase their general level of productivity. A, the will to do more, that's their sustained positive volition, the potential mood of the subjunctive to excel. A, excel. The will to do more, you got to stay positive. And B, growth to maturity, that's sustained inhale, exhale, faith. As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face, may complete what is lacking in your faith. So, all right, we'll just cut it here and pick up our next verse Tuesday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to give you light and see things. Take us back to the next Bible class. In Jesus' name. Be sensitive to the prep school. I'm letting you out.